ways, as Miriam said, by laughing when His Majesty was in the dumps, or vice versa. Impatient at still being in irons with another hungry night ahead of them, they were in no mood to go quietly to the stables, hence the row they were making. But no one paid much heed, least of all Theodore. 3 o'clock was when he started drinking, as a rule, and being an hour late, he lost no time in embarking on a splendid spree in his tent, with the Tej flowing like buttermilk, and myself expected to go bowl for bowl with him. I couldn't. The amount he sank in the first hour would have put me on the floor, and he jeered at me for a weakling and summoned Queen Tamagno to join us, vowing that she would show me how to drink. Which I am bound to say she did, seating her ponderous bulk beside him and laying into the liquor like a thirsty marine. Theodore applauded and kept her goblet brimmed, kissing and caressing her between his own hearty swigs, murmuring endearments like a lovesick swain, which was sufficiently repellent. But what was truly unnerving was that she never took her eyes off me once. I believed he sensed her interest, for after a while he left off cuddling and told her to leave us, and she heaved up her great jelly of a body with its gaudy silks and went, giving me a last long stare over her fat shoulder. Again, I was damn glad to see her away. When she'd gone, he drank in silence for some time, pretty moody, eyeing me in a most discomforting way, as though on the point of an outburst. But when it came, it was the last thing I might have expected, for he heaved a great sigh, supped some more Tej, and exclaimed,
"My dear friend, do not misjudge me. I truly love you, not you alone, but my good friend Mr. Assam and Mr. Prido also, although it is difficult to love the Consul Cameron who betrayed me to the Egyptians, but I try."
A longish pause, in which he stared at the roof of the tent.
"I also love the Dr. Blanc, who has healed many of my people. But you I love most of all, for you have shown no fear of me."
"Then I'm a sight better actor than I thought I was," thinks I.
"I have behaved ill to you, my friend, but I had an end to serve."
He paused again, looking heavy, and then came the most astonishing declaration I ever heard from this astonishing man.
"I never used to believe I was mad," says he,
and the tears were rolling down his cheeks.
"People said I was mad, but I did not believe it. But after the way I have behaved to you, raising my hand to strike you, putting you in chains, I believe I am mad."
He gave a great retching sigh, wiping his cheeks.
"But you will forgive me. As Christians, we ought to forgive each other."
I cried amen to that in a hurry, assuring him there was nothing to forgive. He'd behave like a perfect gentleman, and if all kings played such a straight bat, the world would be a better place. Well, that was the gist of it, anyway.
"I try to be a good Christian," says he, "although some of the priests doubt my devotion. It is the bane of a monarch's life in all religions and countries that his priests are forever at work to gain ascendancy over him. It was so, I have heard, with some of your English kings. My priests, in their insolence, say that I wear 3 matabs, a Christian one, a Muslim one, and a Frankish one. But folly! I told them, 'You pretend that I wish to change my religion, but it is a lie. I would sooner cut my throat.'"
And on that he stopped, drank, and raised his head to listen. I've been aware for a few moments of another sound above the faint murmur of the camp, but only now, when he cocked his head, frowning, did I identify it. A distant chant, one word over and over.
"Abiet, Abiet,"
which means Lord Master in Amharic, and with it now came a faraway clashing of chains, and Theodore was exclaiming impatiently and calling out to know what was the matter. Samuel came hurrying to explain that the chained prisoners were pleading for water and bread, and knowing his unpredictable majesty, I'd not have been surprised if he'd told Samuel to shut them up PDQ, or ordered him to serve them a hearty supper. He did neither. For a moment, he sat perfectly still, and then came to his feet without haste, staring from Samuel to me and back again. And then his expression changed, uncannily and quite slowly, from blank to wondering to frowning to growing rage, and then to such a glare of demonic malevolence as sent a shudder up my spine. he let out an almighty scream of fury, scrambling over his couch to snatch up his sabre from the table, and swept it from its sheath.
"Swine!"